Welcome to the C3 Church Global Podcast with Phil Pringle. Phil is the founder and senior leader of C3 Church Global, a family of over 500 churches around the world. We're passionate about bringing you fresh, inspiring devotionals to fuel your day and insightful conversations on all things church and leadership. And it all starts right now.
Hey everybody, this is fantastic. I am here in Dallas with Pastor Joe and Nancy Martin. We're in their brand new studio, and in fact, this is the first recording.
This is the inaugural, recording.
Well, what an honor, what a privilege to be here with this very fine couple who are leading such a brilliant church. Welcome, Joe.
Thank you, Pastor.
And so good to be Nancy. Here with
you. Thank you, Pastor Phil.
Yeah. Well, this podcast is talking about all things church and leadership, and you guys have now been in the ministry leading churches for nearly 50 years?
Nearly 40.
Nearly 40.
Yeah.
Can you believe it?
Yeah. This is our 38th year. Yeah.
Amen. I think that's awesome.
Yes.
I think we need more people to be able to hang on in there.
I know.
That longevity.
And how long have you been married?
38 years.
Just this, kind of similar.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Right away.
Got married and went right into the ministry. Bat.
So tell us how you got married. How'd you meet?
We met at a Christmas party back in 1984. So I saw Nancy across the room, and the Lord spoke to me about her.
True story, yeah.
He spoke to me about her. Said he said, can I tell the story?
Well, yes, I think you do a good job.
She's been hurt in a relationship, but tell her I'm going to heal her heart, and I'm going to use her for the kingdom. And so I thought to myself, she had on skin-tight leather pants.
I just frosted my hair.
Just frosted her hair. And she had on a little thin white sweater.
Oh, it's okay.
And her hair up in a pebbles and bam, bam.
Splashing.
And I thought, there's no way I'm going to say anything to this girl.
And I was just sipping on some champagne.
Yeah. But later that evening, she and I had a chance to speak. And she was so tenderhearted towards the Lord. We prayed together that night. She came to Christ.
Wow.
And,
I was going through an annulment.
Right.
At the specific part.
Right.
And Pastor Joe saw me, and he said, the Lord sees your heart, knows you're going through a very painful relationship, but his heart is to use you mightily for the kingdom of God and have hope. Wow.
How powerful is that? I mean,
so powerful.
Yeah, the fact that you, believe that God was speaking to you.
Yes.
Totally.
That word of knowledge is so powerful.
Yes. Yeah.
So
powerful.
And this was kind of the gentleman that I'd married about 6 months into it. He said, I have to let you go, Nancy, because God and children mean so much to you, and I'm not there yet.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
So that's difficult. What where the hurt was.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, your background is kind of quite colorful. You come from a family that was involved
family,
in
Catholic
clothing,
family,
right?
From North Dakota.
Yeah.
We're Icelandic. So when Pastor Joe and I would have a vigorous argument, he said it's because he was married to a strong Viking.
A Viking.
I agreed.
Yes. So tell us about the clothing industry.
So both my parents were in the clothing industry, so I modeled quite a bit. I was a cheerleader. Look back, I mean, there were such good things, but it was a little bit of a blur. We moved from North Dakota to Dallas when I was about 10 or 11. It took our family a while to adjust, but I love the clothing industry. I still do, and I just, I feel like Pastor Joe let me maintain being myself with the journey of being a pastor's wife and loving God and loving people. It's been a joy. I'm able to keep my fancy flair.
Yeah. So, Joe, you have a totally different background.
Yes.
The farm.
Yeah, the
Green
farm.
Green Acres.
The farm. Yes.
I grew up on a little farm in western Tennessee. And, in fact, the whole
Hickory Valley.
The whole county only had 27,000 people in it.
Huh.
He was king of the county.
Okay.
I got him. Yeah.
But you know, when I graduated from high school, went to college in Mississippi, and then I moved to Dallas immediately following that.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And then you got involved in what, the oil industry?
Yes. When I got here, I got a job in the oil and gas industry. And within a couple of years, I was drilling wells and raising money and putting together deals. And so it was a really growing time in the industry back in the early 1980s.
Amazing.
What brought you to Dallas?
That's yeah. I'd never been to Dallas before. I never had thought about Dallas. In fact, I had dreamed of having a career in politics.
Huh.
And so I was headed to law school in Tennessee at Vanderbilt. And 2 weeks before I graduated from college, my girlfriend, ex-girlfriend, we had quit dating, she informed me that she was pregnant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And at that time, it was illegal to get an abortion in Tennessee or Mississippi or Arkansas.
Right.
So she said, I'm going to Dallas.
Huh.
And that's the first I'd ever thought about coming to Dallas. I never had thought about Dallas at all.
Mm.
But that's what got me here. And in fact, it played a big part 2 years later in my salvation.
Tell us about that.
It did.
Well, I had come to Christ about 18 months after I'd got to Dallas, and yeah, I had one of those conversions that, you know, it was a 180-degree turn for me. And so
pretty beautiful.
I was, you know, pursuing the Lord, and I'd visited a charismatic church. I'd never heard of that before, never seen that before.
Church on the Rock?
Yeah, Church on the
Larry
Rock.
Larry Lee. Uh-huh.
And it was in one of those services that Larry Lee called me out of the crowd and spoke over me, prophesied over me.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And a key over the city of Dallas.
Wow.
So it really got me thinking about the things of the Spirit, pursuing the things of the Spirit. So so when I got Spirit baptized, it was a life changer for me.
Right.
And so it was a big part of my development,
of course.
And it really changed the whole tide of where I was headed.
And the people that you started to spend time with. Yeah.
So you started the prayer meeting, right?
My business partner and I, Pastor Terry Moore now, he and I started, he'd started it and I joined him.
Right.
A Bible study in his home.
Huh.
And so when we first started, there were six or eight of us. And then by a year and a half later, there were 150 people.
Wow. It grew
to
fast.
His home.
Were you part of that, Nancy?
It's toward the, a year or two into
toward
it.
Toward the end of
right.
it.
Yeah.
And I've got a great story with that.
Right.
So I grew up Catholic, right? And so I go with Pastor Joe to this Bible study. I just really was crazy about him. And so during worship, I heard Ezekiel 37, but I didn't even know it was in the Bible. Mm-hmm. And this woman walks over. She taps me on the shoulder. She said, I believe you're looking for Ezekiel 37. So she read over it with me. And I tell you, that's just been a significant chapter. Gonna cry. In my life, you know, not only to speak to the dry bones in my life and the world around me, but for all of us to just encourage people, we got to speak life to the dry bones that they will live. Isn't that neat?
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
The
I
love
first
that. Thing that I heard, really, in the very beginning days.
Yeah, it's got to be one of the most powerful chapters in the entire
I know, I
scripture.
Love it.
Yeah, too.
You bring it up a lot.
Oh, yeah, I love that that passage. So that became the beginning of this church.
Right. And so after about 2 years of this Bible study growing, people began to say that was their church.
Right.
And of course, we were business guys. Nobody had been to seminary. Nobody
the piano
done
with a finger.
We had a guy play the piano, and we would sing a few songs. We'd read from the Bible, and then we'd pray for people.
Yeah,
and it just grew.
It went till midnight.
Grew. Yeah. Oh, it was just crazy.
Deliverance and inner healing.
Yeah. And so then we started a church, and it quickly went to 1,000 people.
Huh.
And so Nancy and I began at the very ground level. In fact, Nancy was the first janitor of the church.
I was. Six and a half years.
Way to go.
And I was the assistant janitor. And then
we
went all the way up to where we were. I was a senior associate.
So good.
And then you traveled the world.
Yeah.
So good.
That was significant for us because for a while we were part of a movement called Every Nation.
Yes.
About 10 years, we were on the apostolic team there.
Right.
But we think that just started our heart beating for the global church. We always wanted to be a part of a global movement.
Right, right.
And so there was a shift in every nation. And so for a while, we were looking, and we found you.
Yeah,
and
C3.
Pastor
well.
Chris read Dr. Seuss, or The Places You'll Go.
Yeah.
Oh, I cried and cried. I said, we found our people.
Oh, nice.
So thanks for letting us be
well,
a part.
We love having you on board. It's like
thank
we've
you.
Found our people too, you know?
thank you.
Yeah, so the journey is made incredible because of the people you journey with.
You know, our first meeting with you all, the women prayed, the men prayed, the women knew the word, the relationships were strong.
Mm-hmm.
And we came back, I could hardly communicate to our team the joy. And for a while, I just said, whatever happens, Joe, I love those people, and I'll just go, I'll go hang out with
right.
them. You know, so it took us a while for those around us to
yeah.
really stand with us
yeah.
and say yes and let us be a part of C3. But we love it. We're going to keep taking our teams as often as we
right.
can so they can just pick up. But I think it's such a healthy,
yeah.
good, strong
yeah.
movement for the men and the women and the generations.
Exactly.
You know, Bible college.
Exactly.
I love so much.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, in a day like today where we've got so many new young ministers, I mean, in this next 12 months, we're starting around about 45 new churches.
That's incredible.
And most of them are going to be young guys and gals.
Yes.
And so not that you're old, but we need more mature
well, yeah.
people around the
yeah.
place who are loving these new young guys
and,
as well to support them and strengthen them.
We can bring
them.
Our experience and our encouragement.
Thank you. Yeah, I think yeah. we can come beside them and bring some stability and
yep.
some encouragement. And
you're doing that now
yeah.
already.
Yeah, I mean, we love doing it.
Pastor Joe's
that. And it's a
flying
joy.
In. You can do it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's a joy. And I think the thing, there's so many things that I love about our movement at C3. But I think the thing that I love the most is the discipleship element of
Amen.
The next generation. Mm-hmm. How incredibly, the older I get, the more important that becomes.
Yeah.
And how incredibly important that is, and how that is so universally embraced.
Right.
And not just with words. I mean, we got
right.
great churches making disciples,
yeah.
training leaders, changing the world.
Exactly.
We love
so,
it.
So give me, like, I'm so with you on that. I think there couldn't be a more important topic to lay a foundation for ministers.
Yeah.
I mean, the ministry is not the good foundation
right.
for ministry.
Right.
Discipleship
Amen.
is the foundation.
To
for,
withstand everything, right?
To withstand
you know,
everything,
yeah.
exactly. And so give us one main point about what discipleship is for you, Pastor Joe.
I've always said this, and this I think this is maybe more out of my practice than theory, but I think it's coming alongside someone, befriending them,
right,
and then doing life with them,
right.
To me, that's the foundation
yeah.
of is our friendships.
Yeah,
we care about it. We like each other. We like doing life together. We
right.
We can encourage one another just through life, not through some class.
Right.
Although there's nothing wrong with classes,
mm-hmm.
but it's the doing of life together.
There you go.
That's so important, I
yeah.
think.
And that's pretty much it. Do life together.
Yeah.
Eat together.
That's right.
Laugh together.
And it's good for our children to see us doing that. Mm-hmm. You know, like we're including more and more of our younger ones to come to Vision Builders and all the events that we have so they can watch us doing that, the joy that it brings, the relationships. And Pastor Joe and I would also include, I mean, we love so many couples already, C3 around the world, but some have flown in even when we were going through difficult times. We stood in our kitchen. They spoke such life to our dry bones. You know, some people had moved on or spoken some things. So I think it's true, you know, for the children, your children's children, but then also just seeing each other through life's journey,
right.
illnesses, things like that. We really do pray and love one another,
yeah.
and I think that's part of it, too.
It is. Okay, so family life and the ministry, you guys have done exceptionally well
Thank
in this
you.
Area. Thank with all your kids.
It's the grace of God, Pastor.
He's and you know cheap that. And I'm fancy. Yeah,
so for a lot of pastors and their wives and their families, there's pressure. I mean, we've seen over the last few years marriages break, families fall apart in under the pressure of ministry. And it's so important that we keep addressing this area so that we can walk the entire journey together and finish strong.
That's right.
So come on, Nancy, give us some parenting tips.
I'm super grateful because I really haven't had to live a hidden life where I'm one way in the church, one way at home. I think Pastor Joe did a beautiful job with myself and our kids and even our grandkids is being vulnerable and real. I am so grateful. We almost joined a movement where you really, really had to be exceptional and proper and do things right. Well, I still don't do those things. You know, I just don't fall inside the book, the outline and all that. But Pastor Joe just let us be. Now, sometimes I would share way too much. He didn't want me and we'd get home and we'd have to work through it. But I said, Joe, I just needed that help. And so thank you for letting me open up. But we are still in it. And I tell our staff and everyone, we still love what we're doing. We love God. We love you. And I think that happens. People get French fried or burned out and they have these hidden lives. And that is a tragedy.
It is.
To me. And so, you know, we have a lot of close people that we would call you.
Yeah.
I mean, we want to finish strong and we want to hear well done. Our faithful servants, and I think you've got to be careful and, you know, and be genuine.
Well, if you got good people around you, that can be your salvation.
Yes.
That's right.
When guys get isolated and they're doing it on their own, you can get away with a lot when nobody's near you.
Yeah.
But when you got close relationships, people know stuff and they can see stuff, and that on its own is going to provide for you boundaries.
And it saves your children and grandchildren.
Yeah.
So one of the things I would encourage people is Pastor Joe hoped that we would have a building with 10,000 people and he would write books and go around the world. We do get to go around the world, but we just look at what our life and what God's done, and God knew the best what to do to keep our marriage strong. We're still going. Our children aren't bitter. Our grandchildren want to get baptized, are getting baptized this weekend. And so, I think those steps are important.
So you said, like, you share a little bit much and then you go home and have a conversation.
Yeah.
So let's talk about that.
A vigorous conversation.
Yeah, no, I want to hear. So, Joe, how's that go?
Well, I Nancy's a verbal processor, so she's constantly verbalizing her thoughts and her feelings. And I'm an internal processor. And so what I found is if we don't talk beforehand, it's going to come out in the meeting, right?
Right.
So we got to maintain a discussion at the home level to make sure that it doesn't all come out and spill out before the whole church.
Tell them about that marriage retreat we went to.
Yeah.
They sent us on a marriage retreat.
You know, you tell them.
Well, it was very expensive. It was wonderful. And we're walking in to get help. And Joe said, Nancy, you got to help me. You got to tell these people how I feel. I said, that's exactly why we're here. And when we have trouble, you've got to be able to let it out, Joe. And I mean, I cried through it. A couple sessions, but then Pastor Joe he let it out. And I said, it's so important. I need to know because he'll pack it away, but it'll come out sometimes. Yeah. And
I'm not sure if that's personalities or if it's just male and male and female.
Hey,
I mean, men tend to, we live in caves, you know, like we withdraw to process, like you say. And
he has a man cave at our house. It does. It says, what does it say? Anyway, he has man cave.
Place to withdraw.
No girls allowed.
Yeah. Well, men have a big nothing space in their head.
Right.
Nancy.
Okay.
And so we go there, you know, and we're just staring off into space, and our wives say, what are you thinking about? And you,
yeah.
Nothing?
Nothing.
Yeah, nothing. I'm in my nothing space.
Yeah.
And anyway, you know, that's a whole other discussion, how, you know, men and women get to
God
relate to
one another.
God designed
it that way.
But I am interested because I know that many marriages just live with a simmering situation that they actually do not have the conversation about.
Yeah.
So when you do go home and there is the need for, do you, like, instead of waiting until we just blow, it's better to get to it before it gets to you.
That's right. And that's a learned behavior.
Right.
Right? Because I think as men, we are hard charging.
Yeah.
We're moving forward. We're bringing people with us. We're bringing,
right.
And I think, you know, if we don't practice the Sabbath.
Right.
And taking time aside from being a hard charger.
Mm-hmm.
Then we're inevitably asking for marriage and relationship problems,
yeah.
Children problems,
yeah.
So you have to take that time,
yeah.
And it's a learned behavior for those of us who
still learning
our heart. You know, go.
And when you get the pressure of children,
yeah,
and the pressure of a mortgage,
that's right,
and two jobs often
disappointment,
that's right,
yeah. And then. You throw those people into the mix of running a church.
That's right.
With a lot of people who are feeling like they need attention or that there's all.
What about me? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So for marriages in the ministry, my Lord, the strength and grace from God that is needed. And so I've said, like, at all of our conferences, I want one session on marriages.
Good.
So that we keep inputting into helping people at least getting slightly better, you know, just a bit better in their marriages. And I mean, we're not looking for perfection in marriages, but we are looking for them to manage the difficult seasons and just to understand that it can get pretty ordinary sometimes in our relationships.
Pastor Joe would do an outline and he'd go, here, Nancy, is all we got to do. It's just right there on that piece of paper. Well, I would bring that paper to him later. I'd be so mad. You know, now we got to get the words off that paper into our life.
Yeah.
But it's great. We actually are celebrating our differences better and not tolerating them.
Yeah.
And I think our kids and people around us can see that.
Right.
So we just took a 2-week vacation, just the two of us, and people are just stunned. They're, what in the world did you do together, just the two of you? And we had the sweetest moment.
Yeah.
Just Pastor Joe would just, this is what I love about you. This is what I said, Dad, can you say that again? I hope I did the same to him, but it was a wonderful time of just being together.
Yeah. And it is interesting, isn't it, that if you travel through the tough days, there are days on the other side
that are so
that are rich,
sweet.
Yes.
And deep,
so sweet
that you cannot have unless you'd actually traveled through.
Been through the hard times.
The tough times.
That's right.
And so just because there's a bit of pain, I don't think we should drop out. Now,
right.
I want to trip into another area, which is to do with church life. And I just want to congratulate you guys on having such a magnificent family. And I mean, of all your legacy
Thank you.
Will leave, that is your.
Pastor Bill, could I say just one little thing about that?
Yeah, go ahead.
And I think I try to tell this to young pastors. And first of all, just as you said, life has seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And the most difficult season is when you're trying to build a business, build a church, build a life, and you got little kids at home.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a hard season.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the good news is it's going to change.
Right.
It's going to get better.
Right.
It is.
Right.
And so one of the things that we did and we decided early on is that, you know, we were not going to make our children, make them conform to church life.
Right.
We wanted them, they were going to come to church with us. But if they had a ball game or a soccer match or something on Sunday morning, Nancy would take them.
We
had no apology about that.
Yeah.
We wanted them to see they could have a normal life and still be committed to Christ.
Nice. But
sometimes when they were little, I just believe so much in the father and the family. If he's there, but I would call Pastor Joe, I'd say, they need you. And he's, well, and let me finish this, and I'd go, they need you. They need right. your lap. They right. need your arms. They need your wisdom.
Right.
And I loved it. I was okay with that. You know, we're gifted different anyway, right?
Yeah.
I verbal process them to death. Yeah. So, but anyway, I think just, man, I'd say to young couples, you know, find your strengths and their, you know, and your weaknesses and mesh Beautiful. That together. Bring that together. You know, for the Holy Spirit. And then,
I love it.
You know, how the mom sort of represents that in the home. But then the father,
God's we're meant love. To. Our differences should complement one another rather than compete with one another.
Yeah,
that Look, takes a while.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does. Yeah,
it does.
Talking about church, you've built a beautiful church here in Dallas, and now you've just opened this second location with a beautiful mid-century design building that we're opening. Like today.
Tonight.
Yeah, which is.
And by the way, thank you for being here, for doing that for us.
It just means the world to us. It's remarkable that you're here. Thank you.
It's
thank you,
my Pastor honor, Phil. Honestly. The thing is, over the past few years, I have, like in the early days, we were pushing for churches of thousands all the time. Let's get. And yet, recently, I think the need for people to become emotionally bonded, which Paul calls joined and knitted with one another, has become so much more important because there's so many isolated, lonely people. And I've found that it is increasingly difficult in very large churches for people to discover that.
That's right.
And so in churches of like anything, you know, around 200, 500 people, people find it a lot more accessible to meet one another and to actually not just be friendly, which our church often got the compliment, you got such a friendly church. And I'd tell our staff meeting, well, it's meant to be a compliment, but I'm not into it, to tell you the truth. I like being a friendly church. That's good. But to make friends is a totally different deal. They eat at your table. And they're with you in your pain and in your celebrations.
That's right.
So making friends in church, and I mean, you asked, what does the church of the future look like? That's where I would see that the sense of community is deeper, stronger, richer, and fuller for people, that, so that we're not just talking about a vertical relationship with God, but which isn't a big deal in the New Testament, to tell you the truth. It is in David's life, but most of the New Testament is devoted to the horizontal, how you're getting along with one another.
That's right.
And how you're treating one another. Mm-hmm. And so I think as we move into the future, that the world of relationships and friendships and fellowship are going to become uber important. Mm-hmm. And so churches that are structured, even the architecture that is built towards that is important. And one of the things that when we were building our building, we sat down, we had like maybe 10 different buildings on our campus. And I was working with a guy and who had a real heart for what we were doing. He was a member of our church. He's an engineer, not an architect. But he said, look, bring the roof down so that people aren't intimidated by the building, so that it's human size. Mm-hmm. And then he said, make all the doors spill into the main courtyard. Mm-hmm. Don't have them off in different places so that when people come out of one building, they meet people coming out of
another.
Yeah. So I thought that was such a good piece of advice to keep the sense of people meeting, because it's not just meeting once, it's the continual facilitating of community in our churches that I think is going to be super important.
You just touched on that because I was telling Pastor Phil, I love his YouTube short videos. I love them. But you were talking about Paul and having relationships. And you know how there are times where we're fearful or we're overwhelmed. And then God brings these relationships, you know, to keep us, you know, going. And so you feel that it can help to, you know, people getting to know one another and their children. And, you know, it is good. Good environment.
Oh, yeah.
And I think, you know, the word you said then is really the key word is community. And I think that's one of the deepest needs that people have today, whether they are new or transient into the neighborhood, the area, or they've been around a while. They need community. You can't get that on a computer screen.
Right.
You can't get that through a Zoom call.
No.
And so it's the skin to skin touch. It's the hand to hand handshake. Mm-hmm. The look in the eye. Mm-hmm. The welcoming. The hey, come be with us.
Mm-hmm.
It's so important. And I think a smaller venue, 200 to 500 people, creates an atmosphere where you can come in, you always see someone you know,
right.
but there's always new people that
right.
you don't know.
Right.
So there's an excitement about rather than an ingrownness.
Yeah.
And all over this community, there are churches that have aged out and that are waiting for some of these young people we're going to raise up to take those venues and mm-hmm. revitalize the community.
Right.
It's going to change. It doesn't just change the church. It changes the whole community.
Yeah.
When we came to this location and spent the money that we spent, the investment that we made in this community, it's changed the whole community.
Already.
We want to create a facility that makes it possible for people to easily connect.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
And ease of
connection is huge. And it's not just the architecture, though. It's the culture. It's the look and feel of the entire place. And that's where some models of churches that have gained prominence are what I would say have been built from the stage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But as we move into the future, I think, we've got to build it from the pew.
That's right.
Yeah.
And unleash the power of the entire congregation, allowing them to rise up. Let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings.
That's why I think we can be an encouragement to these church plants.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't despise, you know, the days of new beginnings, right? And just like our testimony, when God is the author of it, you know, we look up and what God has done, it's been the best thing for us in trusting Him.
Right.
You know?
And I also think that we need to lift the stigma, if there is one, off the idea of small churches.
Mm. Yes.
I mean, whatever a small church is, I think they should be celebrated because there's community there. And they are loving one another, as long as it's not inbred and just going backwards, and it's not small because it's declining under a really unhealthy environment and situation. But if it is small, there's nothing wrong with a well-run, healthy, contained, so-called small church, maybe 100, 120 people.
That's right.
But it's beautiful.
That's right.
Because they're bonding, they're reaching out. They may not be able to gather together the level of resources that large churches can, but at least they got people resources.
That's right.
Our
you know, not just money resources.
Yeah, needs to change.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
so I've become a champion lately of a lot of these pastors who have been faithful with their 120.
Yes, sir.
And they're still there. Week after week.
Well, there's so many advantages a small church has over a mega church.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the primary things, it can be much more efficient and effective per person.
Right.
Than more people save, more
right.
people bat, percentage-wise.
Right.
And so because that is the relational aspect.
Yeah.
Is that more leaders? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so.
Well, good opportunity.
I definitely do believe we need large churches, though.
Yes.
And I just think, but we don't need them at the expense of or in mockery of the smaller guys.
That's right.
As though they have failed, as though they haven't really, you know, ponied up for the big church idea. But I do think we need flagship churches everywhere.
Yes.
We need the Jerusalems, the Antiochs, the large apostolic churches that are setting the pace, setting the culture.
And the resources.
Yeah, and the resources.
Gained a lot from that.
But I think if there can be an equal respect and encouragement for all those faithful pastors and who've got a church, and they shouldn't feel discouraged. I know they often get, oh man, nothing's happening. We aren't going anywhere. And so I would like to send out a message to all of our colleagues in the ministry, and some of you have been faithful with 120 people for 50 years. You know, so God bless you for being faithful with what God has given you. Certainly, don't feel discouraged. Feel encouraged that
even when we got our first building, we were so small, but the people that helped us buy our building the first ones to give were our children.
Right.
It was so awesome. They came with their baggies.
Right.
They busted open their bank, you know, their little piggy bank. Pastor Joe, this is all the money you need to get that building. You know, they're just opportunities.
Sensational.
That, my goodness, everybody can be involved.
Yes.
And then it changes them forever.
It does.
Nothing
it
can
does.
Ever take that away from them. Yeah.
Well, it's been delightful, Pastor Joe, Nancy, and it's so good getting to know you more and more as the years pass by. And you've been so helpful, encouraging for a lot of our younger ministers around the movement. And believe me, you don't know the impact you are having just on a very passive level without actually even being involved. You are looked to and respected and honored by so many of our younger guys around the movement. So thank you for being that leading light for us in Jesus' name.
Pastor Phil, thank you. We want to honor you and so grateful for really your faithfulness to God, your faithfulness to your wife and family, your, you know, just dogged attitude that you're going to finish the race strong. It's been a motivation and an encouragement for me personally and for us.
And you have such joy in the journey. I pick up on that and still smile. you encourage.
Well, I just look at you, Nancy. I've never seen you without a smile.
That's it.
And the laugh of Jesus. Okay.
Thank you, Pastor Phil.
Thanks very much. Yeah. God bless you.
We love our C3 family. Thank you.
Thanks, Nancy.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks so much for joining us today. Check out more content on the C3 Church Global Instagram and YouTube page. C3 is a movement of many hundreds of churches around the world, Christ-centered, Spirit-powered, and connect-driven. So wherever you are around the world, I encourage you to find a C3 church near you. See you again soon.